All right. I feel like this would I really was coming into filming this episode very, very happy, truthfully. The playoffs were absolutely – the first weekend of the NFL playoffs were absolutely awesome. And then yesterday happened with the Sacramento Kings, and really all of my joy filming this episode kind of fell off a cliff. So I'm going to try to put that aside because the Kings right now are just a disaster. So I'm going to try – I'm really going to have, like, a genuine Oscar-worthy performance trying to put aside my feelings about that game. So that we can bring you an entertaining show. And Sam, I feel like you're in the same boat.
And the Oscar for best performance in a limited podcasting series goes to Jason Russell for his portrayal of a sane sports fan.
I know, which I currently am not. That game yesterday, and we have a lot more important things to talk about than the Kings losing a regular season game in January to the Suns. But, I mean, that was horrible.
I mean, they're finding new ways to lose these games.
They are.
Are we sure this team isn't tanking for a draft pick in maybe the worst draft we've had in a while?
God, I hope not. And one of the guys that the Kings were connected to for a little while, Siakam, just got dealt.
Yep.
So that's no longer happening. I don't know why. It's weird. You know, you and I sit here, and obviously there are so many things behind the scenes that obviously as fans we have no idea, we have no access to. But it's weird that a team that feels like they are like maybe a piece away, they're just really never that aggressive when it comes to trades. And I know that the trade deadline is still, you know, a little bit of a ways away, but the Kings are just, they're not aggressive when it comes to getting these players. And I really don't know why.
Yeah, I think you need value to put in these trades. And they've, unfortunately for Kevin Huerter, they sent away picks, getting Sabonis, they traded away a lot of value. I mean, yeah, we could sit here and say that the Kings haven't been very aggressive, but they did make probably the ballsiest move of the last 20 years in trading away a top five point guard for a center to really move the needle. You know, maybe Monty's just like, guys, I've done enough in the trade department. He's done with that.
Yeah. Well, again, we have a lot more important things to talk about than the Kings and them just sort of. I don't know what they're doing right now, truthfully. I'll find out tomorrow when I go to the game. Gee, sorry.
Ooh.
I apologize. My cat is sitting on my lap, and I think she's making her presence known. Speaking of making their presence known, we have a lot of games that we have to talk about this weekend and a lot of teams that made their presence known and maybe some unexpected ways. We're filming right in the middle of the week, so we're kind of at that weird quasi point where we could talk a lot about last week's games, but we also have to talk about the games upcoming. I think more than anything, we should probably give some brief thoughts on some of the games last weekend and then look forward to what should be a really awesome divisional round of football. So let's just start right at the very beginning. It was that first game, Browns-Texans. We'll just do like a little synopsis on each game. 45-14, Texans over the Browns.
Who saw that coming?
I don't think it. Well, actually, you did.
I didn't see a blowout like that. Man, I think we really underestimated Houston having home field advantage. I think that was really the big difference.
You think that was the big? Just I think the biggest difference was number seven.
Yeah, and you know, Joe was having a really good game until he threw those two straight pick sixes. I know that's kind of obvious to say, but he was playing up to advertised, and then boom, it just really got away from him.
Well, I mean, it's impossible to pull his interceptions out of his stat line, but if you look at it, I mean, he was 34-46, 370 yards, one touchdown. He did have the two picks. Obviously, they were pick sixes, so that's really going to make any stat line look a little bit, well, actually a lot blurry, but... Yeah, he was playing pretty well. But I mean their defense really just couldn't stop Houston. And it doesn't help, you know, when your defense can't really stop the opposing team's offense and your offense is giving the other team points.
Yeah, never a good recipe. I mean, CJ Stroud is that guy. Is he already for you a top 10 quarterback in this league?
You know what? It's interesting because we were – so I was listening to Greeny this week, and they were kind of asking that same question because one of the questions that came up about – and we'll get to this later, was about, you know, how valuable, you know, these franchise quarterbacks are. It really, they were talking about Dak Prescott. And they were trying to name all of the quarterbacks in the league that you 100% would give, like, would just absolutely build your roster around, like, give up 3 first-round picks, do the max contract deal, all that other thing. And really what they had settled on, I think, was, like, Burrow,
yep,
Allen, Mahomes, yep, Lamar, and that was it. Those are like the only 4 that they was like without a shadow of a doubt. But CJ Stroud was another guy who they were like, is it really, like, I can't believe we're saying this already, but is he in that conversation? And I don't know, probably not yet, but he's certainly well on his way. If he does this next season, then I don't see any reason why, you know, why that couldn't be a legitimate conversation. And the craziest thing about all of that is that when you name Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, and Lamar, they're all in the AFC. And now there's CJ Stroud too, also AFC.
Yeah, and Herbert.
Herbert's there too. And they didn't even say Herbert yet because it was like, well, yes, you would say potentially he is that. But again, at the same time, like, the Chargers just really haven't – whether or not it's him or the Chargers, I guess you don't really know. But he really hasn't done much high-level winning, so.
I was just trying to see if how far – I think – I don't even think Deshaun Watson got to an AFC championship game.
No, I don't think they did.
So, like, CJ Stroud has already had – the same amount of playoff success that Deshaun Watson did.
Mm-hmm.
And he already, I mean, he's already matched. I don't think this is too far to say he's already matched, like, Josh Allen. Like, do you trust Josh Allen in the playoffs over CJ Stroud?
Yes.
100%?
Yes.
I think Josh Allen is more likely to lose a game for you than CJ Stroud would.
That might be true, but Josh Allen is also more likely to win you the game too, I think. Like,
man, I think we're just a couple more years until CJ Stroud is easily like a top 3 quarterback.
I don't disagree with you, but I think Josh Allen, if he has his fastball and it's on, he's better than I think anybody. Watching if it's one of those things where it's really so hard to make this statement because nobody's ever perfect. But I think legitimately, like, if you were to say Josh Allen is going to play his perfect game and Mahomes is going to play his perfect game, I think Josh Allen's would be better. And the reason why is for exactly the reason why we saw against Pittsburgh. You watched that guy run, that 52-yard run that he broke away and ran for a touchdown. He runs about 25 yards, does a little stutter step, and he puts it into a gear that I didn't know he had. I knew he was fast, but he legitimately breaks away from the safety and puts some, like, a good amount of distance between him and that safety. He has that level just with his legs that, yes, Mahomes and Allen, their running to me is a little bit different. Mahomes knows exactly when to run, and he gets those third downs that he doesn't feel like he should get. But he's not going to run for 50, 60, 70 yards. Allen not only is going to get you those third downs that it doesn't feel like he should get, but he's also going to have the plays in back-to-back weeks that he's had. If you remember a week ago, before the wild card game, he had that third down run against the Dolphins where he broke like 3 tackles. It was like a 3rd-and-13. Mahomes is not doing that. No. And Mahomes is also not going to break away that run the same way that Allen did. So I think if you're saying that both of those guys are going to play their absolute A-plus game,
yep,
I think I would take Josh Allen. The problem is that Mahomes is more consistently at that A level and Josh Allen is more at that B plus level. And that's where they kind of hang out at. And it's when Josh Allen goes to that A plus level that you go, okay. Yeah. So there's the guy who everybody is like really talking about being the best. But like I said, Mahomes is just more consistent with it than Allen is.
I mean, I think that's blasphemy, what you just said. I think,
okay, that's fair.
Patrick Mahomes' highs are, we could talk about the potential with Allen and the fact that, oh yeah, he has more tools in his arsenal. I think you could, with that logic, you could lump in Lamar Jackson. Like if he has the deep ball going and the accuracy is there coupled with the run, like no other QB can match what his output could be in theory. Right. But I think Mahomes can reach the highest of highs of all these quarterbacks realistically.
I don't know. I think Allen is right there with him. I just think that Mahomes is more consistently at the highest of highs, which is why you take – I'm not saying that Allen is better than Mahomes. I would still put Mahomes over him. Mahomes is just more consistently at that highest of highs. But if you were telling me that they're both going to play their A-plus game, I think I would take Josh. But the problem is that 9 times out of 10 – that's not going to happen. It's just that one time. And that's why you can't really, that's why what I'm saying isn't really, I guess, the strongest argument. It's just more my opinion and what I kind of how I feel about the two players. But
your opinion's wrong. We'll get to that matchup, I think, a little later. Okay, and that's the best part of this. I think we have this weekend on Sunday, one of the best matchups, I guess, QB rivalry matchups. That we have in the NFL.
Oh, it's turning into Brady Manning.
Yeah, if we keep getting it every year.
I know, right? And this time we finally get it in Bills Mafia territory.
Ugh. Did you see those videos of the people having to plow through the snow to get to their seat?
Oh yeah, I actually don't know. I don't know if this is 100% true. I heard it on ESPN, but I think they were saying that there like weren't even assigned seats. It was just kind of like find the open chair.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I don't know if that was a joke or not, but honestly, I believe it just because of how ridiculous the stadium was.
Yeah, if you're ballsy enough to go there, I would honestly – I feel like I would have rather gone to Buffalo than Kansas City.
I would have too. It was warmer in Buffalo.
Yeah, the sun was out.
Yeah, it was actually warmer in Buffalo.
Kansas City, I think. Oh, what did I see? I saw there was like, I don't want to butcher the number, but there were people that had to go to the hospital after.
Yeah, there
because
were
because of like frostbite.
Were, yeah, there were like 14 people who, also in the Buffalo game too who had to go to the hospital as well.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just crazy to me that there's players that don't have like any sort of sleeves on in those like weather conditions in those temperatures.
My sister brought up a good point. She was saying, she was like, you got to think that eventually at some point you just can't get any colder, you know? And I was like, I don't know. I told her, I was like, the only thing that I can hearken this to is actually in the reverse, because when I had a 2-week drill down in 29 Palms. And I remember there was a day, it was like 115 outside. And we're all wearing, you know, our long sleeves and our camis and stuff. And then the next day it was like 111 or 110. And the difference between 111 and 115 was drastic. And I don't know, it's one of those things where like, I genuinely do think that the difference between like, I don't know, negative 10 and negative 27, I understand the argument that you just can't get any colder, but I don't know. I think you can.
I think science is on your side on that one.
Yeah, I just, I don't know. Negative 27 in short sleeves. I was
sitting there like, I get, firstly, the fact that the Miami Kansas City game only being on Peacock, that got a lot of negative publicity for Peacock, whatever they wanted.
Yeah, I know a lot of people were not happy about that.
And I was like, this is a $1 billion business. I get we want to keep the sanctity of the schedule, but at a certain point, don't we want like player health, fans' health, everyone involved? Like, if we push this game back, 5 days. It's like they can adjust on the back end there, and you're going to get a better product.
I don't know. It was still a really good game.
Really good? Did Miami ever show up? I mean, they had that really lucky Tyreek Hill touchdown.
Well, there was that, but then even in the wild card game, like the one against the Steelers, like it was a 7-point game towards the end of that game before Buffalo scored. So, and that was in even worse conditions. And then, yeah, well, I don't know. Football, because somebody else had brought up that point to me. I can't remember who it was. I don't remember if it was Natalie or somebody at work, but they had talked about, like, you know, why don't you just build like a dome in that area? And I told her, and I was, oh yeah, I think it was one of my coworkers. She doesn't watch football that much. And I was like, well, truthfully, like, it just ends up being a really big advantage for the team who plays there. Because if you get exactly like what scenario played out for Kansas City and Miami, you get a team coming from a really warm weather, coming to an area where the team is accustomed to the cold, like, it's just such a huge advantage. So building a dome, you just lose that. And I don't know. I think as long as football has been around, like, I just always sort of, there's something kind of like magical in a way, and just like really pretty about watching like the breath of players when they're out there. Like football, I don't want to say it's meant to be played in the cold, but it looks beautiful being played in the cold.
We do not share that affinity for the cold weather. Don't agree with that? No, I mean, they all just turn out really poor.
I don't know.
I don't feel good about, I don't feel any better about Kansas City, the fact that they won that game.
Well, I think that's fair, but I don't know how much that – again, I don't know how much the weather had to do with that.
I mean, Miami was struggling. Like, they got the perfect opponent. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, like, that was – I don't even think if you were to poll the Kansas City players, they would be like, yeah, we enjoyed that game. Like, this is entertainment. These are millionaires. They're making, or some of them are making only $100,000. It's like, at the end of the day, we could move this game to a different time. We don't have to play it in the absolute worst conditions.
Well, I don't know how much better you're going to get, like, from day to day in January. You know, that's the only thing.
Let's look at the Kansas City weather.
you can check it right now. But I don't know. And besides, you have all these TV deals that have already been in place and kind of set the schedule and everything. And I don't know. I don't know. I mean, theoretically you could maybe go play it at an indoor, like, college stadium that's close by, I guess, but I don't know. Again, I do think that there's something sort of like special about playing in the cold a little bit with football. It almost, not like it's meant to, but there's just something about it that's hard to explain. Did you find the weather?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty nice this week. It was like 30s, so.
30s?
That's better than negative.
It's better than negative 27, which is what it was. We have a 50-degree difference, almost, a 60-degree difference almost. So, well, again, that Dolphins-Chiefs game, while not the, I guess, prettiest game of all time, did highlight the fact that Kansas City does have a really legitimate defense. I mean, to hold arguably the number one offense in the NFL to 7 points, to shut them out completely in the second half. Their defense is really physical. Mahomes played well. Isaiah Pacheco is probably my favorite running back in the league to watch run. I don't know who peed in that guy's Cheerios every single day, but it certainly looks like there's just somebody who he hates in front of him every single time he carries the football. And it finally seems like Kansas City has the number one wide receiver in Rashid Rice. He's playing really, really well. So I don't know what to make of the Buffalo-Kansas City game. We'll get to that later. But it did seem like Kansas City had not a bounce back game, but they did look pretty good.
Yeah, they looked all right. Again, I think they got the best opponent.
Probably, yes. Under the circumstances, getting the warm weather team coming to the coldest game of the weekend, you're right. I do think that did work out in their favor.
And a team, I mean, Miami was going through a lot of injuries on defense. Like, they were a shell of what they were in the regular season.
There was that as well. There was another matchup this weekend that you thought was going to work out in one team's favor and just completely did not. It was probably my favorite game of the entire weekend, and that was the 48-32 game, Green Bay Packers throttling the Dallas Cowboys. Do not let the score – if you did not watch the game, do not let the score be any indication of it actually being that close. That game was over from the first whistle. Green Bay won that game in the first quarter. And they completely shut the door in the second half. I mean, in the second quarter, sorry. I've got a lot to say about this game, but I'm curious to hear what you thought about that game.
I mean, it was uber impressive. We talked about before this wildcard weekend what teams in the NFC I thought were potentially the most dangerous for the Niners to play. I think Dallas being the second seed, it's like that's kind of natural for them to be seen as a threat. That went away in a hurry. Green Bay absolutely destroyed them. It's no ifs, ands, or ors about it. I think Dak coming out and saying he didn't play very well, he certainly started off really slowly. And Jordan Love didn't blink once.
No. Jordan Love was 16 for 21, 272, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. And I definitely do think that it's too soon to start the, damn it, Green Bay did it again. They drafted another Hall of Famer or another quarterback that they're going to have for the next 10, 15 years. I don't know how good Jordan Love is going to be. He had an outstanding year this year. His numbers were very good. He had 4,159 yards, 32 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, had an average rating of 96.1. And he had a 64 completion percentage. That is amazing numbers. And considering it was his first full season, that's even more impressive. What I will say about Jordan is that he made a couple throws throughout the game where you could totally identify that he studied under Rodgers. He made a couple throws off his back foot. Rodgers, like, I remember Greeny all the time saying that the prettiest ball that he ever saw being thrown in the NFL came from Dan Marino. And obviously you and I weren't around to watch Dan Marino. I don't know what your thought is about this. The best thrower of the football that I've ever seen is Rodgers.
Yep.
And some of the, like, flick of the wrist throws that Rodgers has that seems like they should go 10 yards and they go, like, 40 or the back foot, almost like jump shot throws. Jordan had like 2 or 3 of those in this game where I was like, oh, he looked like Rodgers. Oh, that's a trick. Something he did there, like in the way that he maneuvered his body or the way that he sort of jump shot fadeaway through that ball just screamed Rodgers. I'm not saying he's going to be Rodgers, but it was one of those things where it was so obvious to me that That guy spent a lot of time with Aaron.
Yeah, he does a lot of that, like three-quarter side releases too, which like all quarterbacks do it. Matthew Stafford had a bunch of those in the game against Detroit. But yeah, I think it's a little early. It's weird because I think I'm more eager to proclaim CJ Stroud as a guy much earlier than Jordan Love. And I think the hesitancy for me with Love is that he had, 3 years to sit under Rodgers, 3 or 4 years to sit under Rodgers. And there were times this year where he just absolutely didn't look good. Where it was like, holy cow, the Packers messed up. And he righted the ship and went on, I think, like a 12, 11 game stretch during the season. And you got to give him the benefit of the doubt. But that goes both ways, right? Like if you give someone the benefit of the doubt for when they struggle, you can't proclaim them too early when you see successes. So I think there's just going to be a little bit more for me. I think that's why it's more impressive what CJ Stroud's doing, because this is his legitimately first experience in the NFL. Jordan Love's been able to experience the NFL, learn under Rodgers, be doing the day to day, be in the team meetings, be in the building for years now. And this is just another, this is a time for him to showcase. It's like giving a guy 3 years for a play and they get to rehearse. That play is probably going to be perfect, right? Their performance.
And that just goes to show you, like, you don't need to start these guys right away.
Yeah, but there's some urgency, man. There's some desperation, I should say.
For sure.
You want to know the funny thing about this game?
That the Cowboys lost?
I mean, that's hilarious. Yeah. And they had a home playoff game. Again, we talked – this is when we talked about – you mentioned Dallas as that team that's the biggest threat. It's like Dallas is going to find a way to mess up in the playoffs.
Well, you're right. And I also did say that, like, it's one of those games where I had mentioned that I expected Dallas to win, but the way that Green Bay had been playing and from everything that I had been hearing this week about the matchups, because obviously I don't watch these two teams play week in and week out. The one thing that I kept hearing was how bad of a matchup this actually was for Dallas, because up front on the defensive line, as athletic as Dallas is, they're not super physical, and Green Bay, as much as it didn't really maybe look like it because Jordan Love was just slinging it around the yard, Green Bay is actually a run-first team, and they're really good at it. So it was one of those things where it was like, okay, well, in order to stop Green Bay, they're going to have to stop the run. So it ended up, apparently from what I was hearing, matchup-wise, did not favor Dallas, even though Dallas was the more talented team. I wouldn't have been, like I said last week, I wouldn't have been totally surprised if Green Bay won, but I did not expect them to win at all. I was definitely picking Dallas to win at least by a touchdown. But 48 points on the Dallas defense, that I don't know anybody who had that bet.
And in Dallas, the funny thing is Aaron Jones, who was out a lot of this year because of injury, scored three rushing touchdowns in this game.
Yeah.
That was the same number of touchdowns he had for the entire season.
And Romeo Doubs had a touchdown. CeeDee Lamb did not, and he had 50 more yards than CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah. Outplayed him. Well, I think the Packers really were trying to take away Lamb. And it took a long time for Dallas to adjust to it.
Yeah. See, he didn't get a catch until like really late in the game, right? Or like he didn't start getting volume until.
I mean, he got 17 targets, so he was getting a lot of opportunities.
Yeah. Dallas got a lot of junk time yards. They ended up getting 510 yards, but Green Bay had taken out, I believe, a lot of their starters on defense at that point.
Yeah, that game was nothing in the fourth quarter, and Dallas was really driving down to try to make it a two-score game. That's how desperate they were. Like, it was so out of reach.
Well, the one game this weekend that was not out of reach was the game that you and I had highlighted as the one we were really interested in, and that was the Rams-Lions game.
Yep.
Which lived up to the hype. 24-23, Lions win over the Rams. Jared Goff gets a win for Detroit, something that they have not had. I think it was since 1991, I believe, was the year. And it was so cool just to see Dan Campbell, the players, like they just kept panning to the fans in the stadium. Everybody who was in tears, just celebrating everything. It was so cool to watch the Lions win that game.
Yeah, I mean, they made it. They almost messed it up. I think there was a lot of chances that the Rams kind of missed out. Both teams were kind of awful in the red zone, settling for field goals, especially in that second half.
There was only 9 points scored in the second half combined.
Yeah, and a lot of opportunity. I think both teams were able to move up and down the field. That's the big thing that's coming out of this game is like both defenses really stepped up. Can we say enough nice things about Puka Nacua?
Yeah, so that was the other thing that I wanted to get to was I know that C.J. Stroud has made a case for the Rookie of the Year, but I have been beating that drum for Puka Nacua on this show, at least saying I believe he should get it. And they both performed well enough in each of their games to make a case, even though it's a regular season award. But 9 catches, 181 yards, 1 touchdown, average 20 yards per catch. I don't know what else he has to do to win that award.
Yeah, the dude was – I mean, once they finally decided that, hey, Cooper Kupp, he's injured this year, we're going to make Puka the number one, he just took off from there. And that was evident in this game. He was getting everything. This game was a pretty admirable performance for Matthew Stafford. The dude was getting lit up. I mean, when he got hit in the ribs, and then that other player, it was almost like a high-low situation, hit him in the head, and then he hit the turf with his helmet and, like, bounced off. How was he let in the game after that?
Matthew Stafford has always been, like, just made of nails, though. I mean, there's that super famous clip of him getting injured, and, like, it's like a 4 or 5 minute cut of, like, him just writhing in pain and coming back in and, like, leading them to a game-winning drive. Like, he's always been just an absolute machine when it comes to that stuff.
Yeah, the dude is super tough. And now that Detroit gets this monkey off their back with this win, especially beating Matt Stafford, the ghost of Detroit's past, are they poised to make a run?
They certainly could be. I mean, so they end up playing the Buccaneers, who they absolutely should beat. There's no reason in the world why we should not have a Lions Niners NFC Championship game. And then at that point, I mean, it's one game. You never know. I mean, I think the Niners would be favored in that by probably at least, I would imagine, like 5.5 points probably. But it's one game. I mean, crazier things have happened. The Packers just destroyed the Cowboys. It's happened at this playoffs. I was going to say the Buccaneers just beat the Eagles, but I actually don't think that was that surprising.
I was surprised how poor the Eagles looked. First, do you like how there were playoff games on Monday?
I did, actually. Having 3 days worth of playoff games was a lot of fun.
I mean, it was just weird, like, that this – now upcoming divisional round wasn't set because we were waiting for two games to be played. And then I think it would have been better if that Monday night game lived up.
Yes, which it did not.
Philly just could never really get it going. And the Tampa in that first half could have had a lot more. They had that huge drop by Mike Evans. I mean, Baker played amazing.
Baker's been balling. He's been on a really good stretch. I have his numbers right here from the regular season. He had 4,000 yards, 28 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. Very similar numbers, actually, to C.J. Stroud. And then he had a rating of 94.6, completion percentage of 64. It's honestly really nice to see him playing so well. He was 22 for 36, 337 yards, 3 touchdowns. Probably should have had more. And the Bucs had 426 total yards of offense. And conversely, the Eagles just looked disinterested from the jump. I don't know any other word to say other than they uninspired, disinterested. Whatever. You know, adjective you want to use. It was honestly hard to watch.
Yeah, it really seemed like they were trying to get out of there.
Right, like they just didn't want to be there.
Yeah, and just get the season done. It was really weird because you could see when Devonta Smith went off a little bit in that, I think, like second quarter, third quarter range. He was really trying to energize the team, but it's like, why do you guys need to be picked up like this for a playoff game?
Right.
It was bizarre, man.
It was very, very weird. Which is funny because in the previous game before that, you had the Steelers playing against the Bills, and the Steelers have absolutely no shot at winning this game, you think, right? But they are out there, and it looks like they are playing – so hard. They eventually get it to 24-17. I mean, they were – it felt like they were out of that game in the second quarter. I think it was 21-0 at one point. And they fought all the way back to make it 24-17, enough to, I'm sure, make the Bills fans go, you have got to be kidding me. There's no way that they're about to steal this game from us. And obviously it didn't. I mean, they didn't. But, like, conversely, you have a team who feels way inferior to the Bills, who are just playing their asses off. And the juxtaposition between the Steelers and the Eagles is just startling.
And what do you think? Isn't that coaching at the end of the day? Motivation? Right?
I mean, you'd think. I don't know. I genuinely don't know what else it would be.
I don't think you can fire Nick Sirianni. I think that would be the dude just got to the Super Bowl, and the team made the playoffs.
Yeah, and they were 10-1 at one point.
Right. So you can't. I think it's just the fact that they lost both coordinators, and they just went on an absolute awful stretch, finishing the year 1-6. I think you just got to reset. Like, level heads got to prevail in this one. If they are too rash, unless they feel like, oh yeah, we can get Vrabel or we can get Belichick.
Right. And I also hear rumors that maybe Mike Tomlin is going to be out of Pittsburgh and that fans are calling for his head. And all I can say to that is if you're a Pittsburgh fan and you get rid of Mike Tomlin, just get ready for what life is going to be like without him. Because that team that you guys had did not have any business being in the playoffs. The only reason why they were there was because of that guy.
Yeah, and I think his his teams always play hard.
Yeah.
You give a guy like a talented roster, like one of the best rosters in the NFL, he's gonna get to the Super Bowl.
That's what I'm saying. Like I will continue to say that I've totally changed my opinion on this, and I'm gonna continue to stick with this point. I initially thought that Justin Fields would probably have a great home in Atlanta, but I've changed my mind. I really do think it should be Pittsburgh. Because it just seems like, from an outside perspective, the personality of Mike Tomlin and the personality of Justin Fields would just mesh really well together. And I think for every argument that you could make about how elite Atlanta's rushing offense would be, I think you could make an equally good argument that Pittsburgh's rushing offense would also benefit a lot from having Justin Fields. I mean, Pittsburgh had a split backfield between Jalen Warren and Najee Harris. You throw Justin Fields into that mix, you have Pat Freiermuth, who's one of the better tight ends in the league. Deontay Johnson's still really good. George Pickens, for as much as he runs his mouth, had some amazing catches throughout the season and in that game. He had one catch in that game where he had no business making. The ball was thrown behind him, and he jumps like 500 feet in the air, snags it with two hands in between like three people. It was just one of the prettiest catches I'd seen in a while. I think you put Justin Fields on Pittsburgh and you match him up with Mike Tomlin, then I think Pittsburgh becomes somebody who you really have to watch out for.
No, they got to find an OC. They got to find a QB coach, because Tomlin isn't that offensive.
No, he's not.
Guy, he's not that quarterback guru. Do I think like a culture-wise that fits? Yeah, I do. But I think to get the best out of Justin Fields, you need to put him in the best situation. I honestly don't think he's going to give you anything different than what Kenny Pickett or Mason Rudolph gives you.
Well,
because there's so many more things for them like the O-line needs to be looked at. Their entire scheme needs a complete overhaul.
Well, to get the best out of any quarterback, you have to put them in the best situation. So, like, I mean, I get what you're saying. They'd have to bring in another – they'd probably have to bring in a different OC. But, again, I think if he's an actual real possibility for them, then you move Heaven and Earth to get him. and you can bring in an OC. I don't think that would be that hard.
They were going to have to pay him too. Like, that's a huge commitment to commit to Justin Fields.
Sorry, I had to let out my cat who was done sitting on my lap. You're right. It is. But I don't know. We'll see.
Do we know right now what Justin Fields is?
Is he
average?
No, I think he's above average. He's also been plagued a little bit by he's kind of in the similar situation that Justin Herbert was in or is in right now. I said he's in the same situation. I didn't say they were the same player. I don't think anybody would take Justin Fields over Justin Herbert, but I'm talking
about let's be careful with this now.
There's nothing to be careful with. Justin Herbert is way better than Justin Fields, but I'm talking about situationally. They're both, I think, plagued a little bit by the organization that they're in more than anything else. So I don't want to make any judgments on Justin Fields until I see him out of Chicago.
I don't know, man.
I think at this point is just – I think it's almost certain that he's going to be out of Chicago at this point.
There's going to be a lot of landing spots. And I got to pat us on the back, man. We talked – about the coaching situation, and I think it's bigger than we thought it was going to be.
It really is, yeah.
Especially if Sirianni's gone and Tomlin's gone from their situation, like
McCarthy too, maybe.
No, they just committed.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, they tweeted out that they're committing to him, which is wild.
When did that come out?
This afternoon.
3 hours ago. Okay, so I was at work. Okay. All right.
Wrong choice.
Probably, right? You can't just run it all back, right?
I mean, you got to at least take a look at Vrabel and Belichick or even Harbaugh.
See, him committing, and I know Jerry Jones actually hasn't been super rash over the years.
No, Jason Garrett was there for like 9 years.
Yeah. For as much as everybody gives Jerry Jones crap, he's really not a rash owner. He does give people a pretty long leash, at least from a coaching standpoint, but you can't just run it back. Like, that makes me think Dan Quinn is going to be gone.
Should he be gone?
After you give up 48 points.
About to say, he didn't call a very good defensive game.
No, he did not. Wow. Okay. So that's going to be interesting. I didn't know that. I'm going to be very, very interested in listening to the sports talk shows tomorrow, or at least the national shows, about why they did that and then what sort of like analysts and players think of that, because everything that I had been hearing this previous week was we need to get him out of here immediately.
I mean, was this result his fault? I guess he didn't have his team ready to play.
Well, yeah. So, yes. I mean, yeah. This is a more talented team than Green Bay. They had a home field advantage. They're a more talented team than Green Bay. So, yes, if you're talking about – I don't know. I don't know who else you put it on.
Are they getting rid of Dak?
No, because who else are you going to get that's better than Dak? Like, legitimately, if Dak entered the free agent, like, I know he's not a free agent, but if he became a free agent this offseason, nobody would be better than him.
Whoa. Really?
Yeah, for the quarterbacks who are going to be available.
Would you rather have Kirk Cousins or Dak Prescott?
Probably Dak Prescott.
That's a lie.
You think?
It's probably not a lie. I'd rather have Kirk Cousins.
You have pooped on Kirk Cousins forever.
I don't know Kirk Cousins personally. How can I poop on him?
Well, here's the thing. You've talked about Kirk Cousins being like the average quarterback in the league for a while.
That was to defend Jimmy G.
To defend Jimmy G. Look, Kirk Cousins, I really like Kirk Cousins, but I think you'd have to pick Dak.
I don't know, man.
Well,
current deals.
Probably have Joshua Dobbs. No, I'm kidding.
Is largely considered a top. Is Dak Prescott a top 10 quarterback?
Ooh. Dude, could we name 10 quarterbacks off the top of our heads right now? That's better than Dak.
Yes.
All right, let's do it.
Hey, you go every other.
Okay. Mahomes.
Burrow.
Okay. So, Burrow. And then I'm just going to try to keep Allen.
Yeah. Lamar.
Lamar. Herbert.
Totally.
Okay.
Give me Stroud.
Honestly, at this point, probably. Hurts.
That's a tough one. I'd rather have Hurts.
I think I'd rather have Hurts too. So right now we're at 7.
Am I forgetting about anyone? I mean, give me Rodgers.
Yeah, actually, yes, I agree. Purdy?
Brock Purdy or Dak Prescott?
That's an interesting question.
Both in really good situations, really good offenses.
Very
much. I think right now I'd probably go Brock.
I think a lot of people would go Brock right now, which feels weird to say. Like, really weird to say.
Would you rather have Jordan Love or Dak Prescott?
Probably Dak. It's just one season for Love right now.
Oh, Stafford.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. For sure. So that's just without really looking anybody up. That's 10 right there.
I mean, I think Goff, you could even kind of argue.
Yes, that's true.
Lawrence.
Ooh, see, now I think we're getting into...
He didn't have a good year.
Yeah, so yeah, now we're sort of getting into the range. So this was the – so I'm on NFL.com right now. This was from January 11th. So this was before the playoff games. This was ranking all 32 teams' primary starting quarterbacks at the end of the 2023 regular season. They had Dak at 2.
Whoa.
Oh, what about Tua?
Nah.
No?
Not really.
Interesting. Okay. Trying to think. I'm just Kirk. We talked about Kirk.
I'd rather have Kirk.
I'm like 50-50.
I think that because Dak's more mobile than Tua.
Dak is more mobile than Tua. Yeah, so I think once we hit the Trevor Lawrence area, now we're starting to get into like I just think at this point you probably can't.
Man, there were like, now that Manning's gone, Brady's gone, Breeze is gone, Rivers is gone, like the QB situation seems, it's just so uncertain now.
Yeah.
We can get to maybe 6 or 7 that you feel like really good about. But other than that, all those guys have huge question marks.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Totally.
Totally.
All right, we spent a lot of time on the previous week's game. We got to get to this upcoming week's games. So
yes.
Let's get to this. So we'll just go in order.
Go in order.
We got the first game Saturday. Maybe, I mean, it's tough to pick what the best game of the weekend is, truthfully.
They're all good.
Yeah, they all are very good. Texans-Ravens. I'd love to know what the line is for this game. Do you happen to have it?
Oh, dude, I can get that for you.
Like, you're the line guy, usually.
I'll find the line.
I'm going to guess that the Ravens are a 5.5-point favorite. No, it's going to be more. The Ravens were arguably the best team all year. They're going to – I know CJ's playing better. I'm going to say the Ravens are a 6.5-point favorite.
It's more.
I wanted to say
this line's actually disrespectful.
I wanted to say 7, but I didn't think they would go full touchdown. So you're saying that it's going to probably be like 9.5.
9.5.
Oh, my God. That's huge.
That's pretty disrespectful to Houston. That's
like Houston, for sure. Right?
I mean, I'm not putting any money on this game, but I think that's pretty ridiculous.
I'm not either, but I think at that point you have to play Houston, right? We saw this game earlier in the year.
Yeah, what was the score of that one?
It was the first game of the year for both these teams. It was it was 9-25, but that game was 7-6 at halftime, and then Baltimore had a crazy third quarter where they scored 15, and then it was 3-3 in the fourth. Yeah, that was an ugly game for Lamar. I'm remembering it right now. Like, the score did not indicate how close that actually was. Lamar was 17-22, 169, and one interception. So the Ravens turned the ball over twice. The Texans also turned the ball over. No team had over 300 yards. It was an ugly game.
Yeah.
It was an ugly game. We saw this game earlier in the year. I can't believe it's 9.5 points.
Yeah, it's like they made that spread before the Texans even beat Cleveland.
Yeah. Like
they didn't even need to watch those games.
With that being said, I would still take the Ravens in this game, but I don't believe for a second that it's not going to be close. Like, with 9.5 points, that's insane.
I'm going to take the Texans.
I would keep riding with them. They got you this far.
I think it's tough to be the team that has the bye.
Yes.
It is weird. Like, it's weird. Everyone wants it. Like, I'm so glad the Niners didn't play last weekend, because it just seemed like in the NFC there was all these upsets, right? And even Detroit played a really close game with the Rams. Like, there was all these games that could have ended with just huge upsets. So it's awesome that the Niners avoided that. But then it's like, what have they been doing for a week to get ready for this game against Green Bay? Like, are they going to come out slow because they haven't played in a while?
That's a good point that you bring up, because can you imagine you're the NFL and you're like, oh, see, we want the Cowboys to win, we want the Lions to win, we want the Eagles to win, and then we have the Cowboys, Lions, Eagles, 49ers. And then what ends up happening is the Packers, the Rams, and the Buccaneers win.
Yeah, which was a reality.
It was a reality up until, yes, up until literally the final few seconds of the Rams-Lions game. I hadn't even thought about it that way, but that is really actually that's hilarious. Ravens Houston, that's such a cool matchup. I'm glad that these matchups worked out the way that they did, because I really like the idea of Houston playing Baltimore and obviously Chiefs playing the Bills, but for whatever reason I just like that Texans Ravens matchup. I can't really necessarily explain why. It just feels like that was the matchup that was supposed to happen.
It's kind of unlucky for Houston, because if I think Kansas City and Buffalo are super vulnerable, and if the Texans were to get to the conference championship game, I could see it clearly if they played Kansas City or Buffalo. They match up so well against those teams.
Yeah, if they get past Baltimore, it would not shock me in the least if they get to the Super Bowl.
How wild would that be? A rookie head coach and a rookie QB getting in the Super Bowl.
I know. And, I mean, they're playing with house money. They have nothing to lose. Which the same can be said for the Green Bay Packers going up against the 49ers. Also a team that has literally nothing to lose. They're possibly a year ahead of schedule. They just destroyed the Cowboys. They're coming in hot. I would imagine you already sort of consider this season a successful year if you're a fan of the Packers.
For sure.
They are playing with ultimate house money. Are you at all worried about this game?
Yeah, I'm a little worried. I think it's a huge opportunity for the Niners to let off the gas. I think there are 9.5-point favorites in this game. I think that's accurate. I think they match up well against Green Bay. their defensive scheme has played well against Matt LaFleur's offense. If they're able to get pressure on Jordan Love, they should be able to control this game. They're healthy. And I think, I don't think you would even ask Green Bay fans who the better team is. I think they would all have to say San Francisco.
Oh, I agree. This is also, as much as you said that this is an opportunity for the 49ers to, like, sort of let up, it's also an opportunity for the 49ers to go, okay, you're not ready, kid.
Daddy's home.
Yeah, like, you're, like, let's just remind everybody real quick who we are, because it's nice that you beat the Cowboys, but guess who also destroyed the Cowboys this year? So did we. This is a cute little story, but let's end this in the first half and let's just be done with this.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think I hope that the Niners play it like that, that this is a huge opportunity and they want to make a statement in this game. I also think that if Detroit were to handle business against Tampa Bay, which I'm just going to say right now, I would think that that would happen. But Tampa can throw on that Detroit defense. I think if the Niners are able to beat the Packers and have the opportunity to beat the Lions, isn't that such a cool season that they were able to beat the 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7? They would have beaten every single team in the NFC playoff.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be
I don't think – has that ever happened?
I don't know, but that would be an interesting stat because I haven't heard anybody point that out yet.
Like, in the same season. That's crazy.
Right.
Like, that's domination.
And here's the thing. This could not have worked out better for the 49ers to have both the Eagles and the Cowboys be knocked out.
Agreed. Just landmines that they got rid of.
Yeah. I mean, those were the teams who you were really worried about.
Yeah, I think they match up well against Detroit. Detroit's playing really well. Tampa Bay, they already – I'm going to overlook them, but they already beat Tampa Bay earlier this season. I just think their defense matches up really well against Tampa Bay.
Well, because, like, Detroit has some of the best lines in the league. Their offensive line is great. Their defensive line is great. Yep. And if you're playing against the 49ers, you definitely need a good offensive line. So that's – that it, just right there, that's a good matchup for, I guess, for both teams. The Lions would be a little bit nerve-wracking, I would imagine, if you're a 49er fan. But again, I still think they'd probably be favored by like 5.5 points in that game.
Yeah, you know, I think the Niners are pretty – I'd be worried if I was a Detroit fan if we were playing San Francisco. So
yeah.
I think it's all those opportunities. Long story short, I'm picking the Niners this week. And I hope it's just not disappointing because it was really sad. My stepdad's a big Rams fan and he had a lot of people over for this game. And it was just like sad, the cloud that came over the place when the Rams lost. It's like, oh no.
Well, again, I'm rooting for you because
thanks, man.
I don't want to see the Chiefs win. I like the Ravens. That's awesome. I like the Bills. That would be great. But the Lions are a cool story, but I'm rooting for you. I hope they win too. I'm going to be pulling for the Niners as well. So
can we get that recorded? Can someone put that on like a t-shirt?
I guess at this point, really, you're going to be saying go Buccaneers. Like, you're rooting hard
for them. No, I don't care about that.
Well, you got to be rooting a little hard.
No, because as soon as you do that, then Tampa Bay goes out and beats the Niners or something. Like, so, that's how karma works.
So what is the line for this game? This one also feels like it's probably going to be fairly sizable.
The Niners-Green Bay game?
No, that one you said was 9.5. I'm assuming that the Bucks-Lions one is probably close to that as well. But actually,
what do you think it is?
I actually think it's going to be smaller. I think it's probably going to be like 7.5 or 6.5.
It is 6.5.
Okay. Yeah, because 7.5, they don't normally do that. They put it near like a common scoring margin. I guess, I mean, that makes sense. I think Detroit's definitely the better team. The Buccaneers have they're hot right now. How many games have they won recently? They've won like six, like five out of the last six, I think.
Yeah, but they were playing that. I mean, they were playing the NFC South. Like, you can't.
Yeah, they did not play the team. The last good team that they played was November 19th, and that was the 49ers. Since then, they played the Colts, Panthers, Falcons, the Packers. They actually destroyed the Packers, Jaguars, Saints, and the Panthers.
Oof. I mean, they had an easy schedule.
The dreadful Eagles at that point, so they have not played good teams.
Yeah, but I think there's opportunities. Yes, Detroit's defense played really well against the Rams in the second half, but we've seen it all year. Detroit was giving up huge scores to teams. Like, they gave up a lot of points to the Seahawks. They gave up, they just were in shootout games.
Yeah.
All year. In Tampa, seems like if Baker plays the way he did Monday night, they're going to be in that game.
Yeah, and Todd Bowles is notorious for just blitzing you over and over and over and over and over again. And so the Lions' offensive line, for as good as they are, they're going to have their work cut out for them because they're going to be getting a lot of pressure all night long.
I can't remember if – or you keep talking.
I'll keep talking. Let's just talk about the next game because that's really.
Well, what'd you pick?
Oh, I picked the Lions for sure. For sure. And then the next game is really going to be the one that I think America is going to have their eyes fixated on big time, and that's going to be the Chiefs-Bills, the game that I think everybody wanted to see. Only this time it's now in Buffalo, which is something that has not happened. It's also the first game in Patrick Mahomes' career in the playoffs where he's on the road. So, one, that's just insane. But two, that's really interesting, honestly. Like, that's – obviously, he goes on the road all season long. But to have played in the league for as long as he has now and to have never been in a road playoff game, that's really interesting to get that still early in his career. But, four or five seasons into him actually being the full-time starter, now you're getting your first road playoff game. That's it. That's really interesting. And you couldn't have picked a worse place to have a road playoff game in Buffalo. Now, it's not like the weather is going to bother him because they just had a colder game in Kansas City. So I don't think that's going to necessarily play a factor. But I'm so glad that we get to see this matchup in Buffalo because it's just something we have not seen. And man, this just feels so right. Like, this is Buffalo's time to just get rid of. If there was ever a time to knock them out, it's right now.
Yeah, you got to think if they, Josh Allen and Doug McDermott sitting at the lockers after this game, if they were to lose, it'd be like, can we ever beat this team?
I know.
Like, do we got to go to with Aaron to smoke some ayahuasca or something? Like, what do we need to do to beat this team if they were to lose this game? Like, the Chiefs are primed to lose against the Bills.
Oh, yeah. Here's what would be an interesting question to ask a Bills fan if this ended up happening was, what would be worse? You had the game a couple of years ago that actually changed the overtime rules when Josh Allen didn't get the ball back.
Yep.
He played probably the best game you've ever seen a quarterback play in the postseason. And what was maybe one of the best, if not the best postseason game you've ever seen. And they lose that game. But to have this game be at home when you've won six in a row against a Chiefs team that feels extremely vulnerable, if they lose this game, man, that would just be, I feel, even more devastating.
Man, I don't know. I don't know if the different barometers of devastation that you feel, but oh, man. I think it's just a huge opportunity. for the Bills to finally get to an AFC championship game and have the opportunity, a real shot to win that game. And for Josh Allen, it's like, he's won playoff games, sure, but I think everyone is still waiting for him to have that playoff run.
Yes, I agree.
Right?
Slightly.
What?
I said I agree slightly, not fully.
Uh-oh.
Because, again, I do think when you go back to that playoff game against Kansas City, he did literally everything he could have possibly done to win that football game.
Oh, my gosh. Are you a Josh Allen supporter?
Dude, there was 13 seconds left. Yep. They had that game won. And the Chiefs drive down the field, get the field goal. They get the ball back in overtime, and they score. None of that is Josh Allen's fault.
Let's see here. Let's look at the stats of that game.
Look at the stats of that game.
Why didn't Josh Allen score more points?
I don't know.
Well, so he was just an innocent bystander in the whole thing?
He was when he's not on the field.
42-36?
I believe that was
he went 27 for 37 with 329 and 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, that one.
He also ran for 68 yards. Man, Gabe Davis had 8 catches for 200 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, you remember that?
Holy cow.
I think that was when he got the nickname Big Game Davis. I think that's when Romo gave him that nickname. Yeah, 27 for 37, 329 yards, 4 touchdowns. And he ran for 70 yards.
I mean, Mahomes went 33 of 44 for 378, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions.
One of the best playoff games you've ever seen.
And he had a rushing touchdown.
Yeah, it was incredible. It was incredible. But again, you can't blame them for you can't blame Josh for they. I'm looking at. They actually on ESPN right now have a win percentage calculator.
Yep.
And where is it? With 13 seconds left, the Bills had a 90% chance of winning that game.
Well, at least they didn't have a 99% chance like the Kings against the Suns.
That's true.
Just up 20 in the fourth quarter, but we weren't going to mention it.
Nope. We can't. That's just going to bring the show down. So with that being said, who do you have in the game? Who's going to win?
So Buffalo beat them this year. I mean, both teams didn't play well in that game, but that was the big Patrick Mahomes pout game.
Yes.
And Kadarius Toney. I'm gonna take Kansas City.
The game that really, I think, made a lot of people have a sour taste about the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
Like that game. I think is when at least the feeling around the Chiefs to me started to turn a little bit about, oh, maybe they're not everybody's darling anymore.
I think I've picked the Chiefs in every single game this year.
I think you have too. I probably have as well.
Oh, Josh Allen did lose a fumble in that game.
It's just hard to not pick them. You know what I mean?
Did you hear what I said?
I did, and I chose to move past it.
I guess he could have done something better.
Okay.
Okay. I think he had the only turnover.
Okay.
Yeah, he actually had the only turnover in that game.
Oh, that's interesting.
Weird.
Weird. It is weird.
But I guess he only had an A-minus game that time.
Okay. Okay. Well,
yeah. Anyway. That game is 2.5.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that's tough.
That makes sense.
The Chiefs, obviously, yeah, are getting points on the road. What's the forecast in Buffalo? Do you know?
I will look that up.
If it's snowing, I think huge advantage Buffalo.
Oh, very much so. Buffalo forecast Sunday. Let's see.
Sunday.
It looks like it's going to be 24 degrees and sunny.
Oh, is that the day game?
It is the night. Well, yes, 3:30.
Oh, okay. But that's the later game?
Yeah. So, yeah, it looks like I'm looking at it right now. Partially cloudy, high at around 25. Yeah, doesn't look like it's going to be raining. 6% chance of rain, so we're going to have clear skies, and it's not going to be below freezing. So it could be better.
What did Josh have? What was Josh set? Because they only scored 20. Like, it wasn't only like 20-17.
It was 20-17, yeah.
In the game this year, what do you have it in front of you?
I do. Yes.
Can you read me what Josh Allen's stats were?
Yeah, neither one of them had good games. They were actually really identical. So Allen was 23 for 42, 233, one touchdown, one interception, and Mahomes was 25 for 43, 271, one touchdown, one interception.
Oh yeah, they both played pretty poor.
Really similar.
Well, I mean, Buffalo's had a lot of defensive injuries. Kansas City just had a really good defensive game. I think it's going to be low scoring.
I also think it's going to be low scoring.
The over under is 45.5. I would kind of take the under.
I think so too. This has a feeling of like a 20-24 kind of game.
The game with the lowest over under, what do you think it is?
Packers 49ers.
It is Baltimore Houston.
Really?
I wouldn't think that. I wouldn't think it would be that one.
I was banking on the Niners Packers one just because Vegas may be thinking that the 49ers were going to shut the Packers down, so that was going to get rid of some points. But I guess Baltimore's had a really good defense all year long too, so.
Yes. Yeah, give me Kansas City.
I'm going to take Buffalo because I just don't want Kansas City to win.
So you took all the favorites.
Yeah, call me a front runner. Do it. Do it. I dare you.
So how did we do last week?
You had every game correct except the Eagles game, which we both got wrong.
Well, we didn't pick Green Bay.
Right. So we both got the Eagles game wrong, but you got the Texans-Browns one.
Okay.
So you went 5-1, and I went 4-2. So really what that means is we should just get into sports betting.
Oh, you actually looked at the spreads?
No, I did not. But what I'm saying is just, you know, just pick them. Yeah, easy.
Well, give me. I mean, for sure, Houston.
Houston on the spread, definitely.
I think the Niners cover the 9.5. I think they win by 10.
I think I would be inclined to take the Packers only because, well, I don't know. The 49, Brock Purdy hasn't played in 3 weeks. I don't know what. He literally hasn't played in 3 weeks.
Yeah. Yep.
I think I'd probably take the Packers. Only because I think they cover like at the end on maybe like a garbage time touchdown kind of deal. I'm not necessarily expecting that game to be close, but then I guess at the same time, I wasn't expecting them to blow out the Cowboys either. The Packers, I don't know what they're going to do, truthfully. The Buccaneers Lions, what was that, 6.5?
Yeah.
I think the Lions cover that. And then, I mean, the Bills Chiefs, it's so small. I think the Bills are going to win, so I think I just take them because it's a field goal. But
I take Kansas City, obviously, with the points. And yeah, I'd probably take Tampa. I think that game's going to be closer.
Yeah, that could be a sneaky, really good game.
What do you think? Oh, we already said the best game was Kansas City-Buffalo.
Well, probably, yes. But I'm really interested in the Texans-Ravens game. I think that could be a really good game, too. Actually, I want to know what the forecast is for that game. Because I can't imagine it's going to be that warm there either. Yeah, 33. Well, that's not freezing like some of the other games.
Yeah, but the Texans are an indoor stadium team.
Yes, they are. So they got that to deal with. Wind's going to say, it says it's going to be about 13 miles per hour, so I don't know what that makes the wind chill, but that's going to be a cold game too.
Justin Tucker going to be missing some kicks?
The only warm game is going to be 49ers.
Ish. What's that temp?
Ish, right? Like
it's the Bay Area at nighttime. It's probably a little chilly.
Yeah.
For us Californians.
They're in Santa Clara, right?
Yep.
So forecast Sunday, 60.
Oh, really? What's the low?
54.
Oh my gosh, that's perfect.
And then maybe light rain, potential light rain
in the evening. Do they have it? You probably can't see this far.
Like light rain at 3 p.m. ish.
Oh yeah, right before the game. It'll cool off. Right before the
game. So 60 in light rain, maybe. So there you go. And then the other game, in the at night, you can't even really count the Lions one because that's in the dome. So.
Yeah.
So I'm super excited for this weekend. I think all of these matchups are really, really cool for a lot of different reasons. I don't think we could have asked for anything better. I think I'm almost more interested in seeing the Packers play the 49ers than I am the Cowboys play the 49ers. I know America's probably not, but truthfully, I feel like I am.
Yeah, if Green Bay's winning at any point, Jason, just don't text me.
I won't.
Like, don't text me for the next week. We'll have to call off the podcast. I'm not coming in.
That's fine. I can bring Josh on.
Yeah, he's been coming out with some bangers.
That's what I'm saying. So like, I feel like if you're gonna be MIA for the previous week, I mean for the next week, then like I'll bring on Josh. I could even call in my dad. My dad's always got thoughts about games. So we'll just I got you covered.
I'd listen to that one.
Yeah, I got you covered. No worries. All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening. We really do appreciate it. Enjoy the football this weekend. Don't watch the Kings until we tell you to. It's just not a good time right now.
You have to wash out your eyes.
I know. I'm gonna go there tomorrow. So.
I think I'm going to the game on Monday.
Who do they play Monday?
I don't know. Let me look.
Well, they play Indiana. I wonder, do you think Siakam's going to be playing tomorrow?
I was going to ask that at the beginning of the – I don't think so.
I wouldn't think so, right? Like, doesn't he have to pass a physical for the team?
Well, and he's – I mean, I don't think – like, he wouldn't practice with the team.
Right. But I don't think Sabonis – like, when we got Sabonis, we, like, threw him in as soon as he got there.
Yeah, I don't even think he had time to learn everyone's names.
Yeah, no, he just showed – like, literally, I think he just showed up and he was just in the starting lineup.
Dude, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but the Kings go on, like, a heavy road trip after Monday.
Nice. Love it. Looking forward to it. Well –
it's an East Coast road trip.
Oh, great. Great. Again, thank you all so much for listening. Really do appreciate it. Have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy the football. And we will see you all for the championship rounds next week.
See ya.